This is Tuesday, March 6th, 2018. Overwatch's new hero wants to be your shield, there's plenty to be raving about in Hearthstone, and did you see that last game of the HGC Western Clash? I did, and I'll talk about that and much more with the hosts of Trollin' HGC. This is episode 254.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, supports and assassins, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, thank you as always for listening. In just a moment, I will tell you which Blizzard-focused podcast is doubling down and bringing you two shows a week, but first, let's try to cram a ton of news into a tiny little segment as we go around the world of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. Birgitta Lindholm, daughter of Tolbjorn and squire to Reinhardt, is Overwatch's next hero and currently available on the game's public test region. Birgitta is a melee support character with a diverse toolkit and the ability to heal her team passively while she damages enemies. The Seething Shore is now available as part of the regular battleground rotation in World of Warcraft. If war isn't your game, but crafting the perfect transmog is, the Trial of Style microholiday is also back in game and runs through Friday, March 9th. Season 13 of Diablo 3 Ranked Play is underway. Meanwhile, in the Nexus, since the last episode, voice chat has been activated in Heroes of the Storm. A development team video emphasized a focus on reworks to heroes and battlegrounds in the months ahead, with new hero releases slowing in frequency. More special themed skins are also in the waiting, including police-themed variants for Greymane, Morales, and Johanna, which should be available this week. The 20th anniversary of the first StarCraft game is coming on March 31st, and Blizzard will be celebrating it with special rewards in all of its other games. For more details, go to StarCraft.com. And last but certainly not least, the next Hearthstone year has been announced to be the Year of the Raven. It was also revealed by game director Ben Brode that Lunara will be a new Druid hero. Iceblock, Coldlight Oracle, and Molten Giant are moving to the Hall of Fame subset and only playable in Wild. And the ability to run Blizzard-supported in-game tournaments will go into testing later this year. It's about freaking time.
Time's up. Let's do this.
Time for some Blizzard podcasting news. New shows tend to take top billing here, and I have three to talk about. The Frozen Nerd Report is a new weekly series of shows from Epic Insanity. This spinoff from the Frozen Nerds podcast will release every Friday and will be a short 10 to 15 minute venture focusing on the latest Blizzard esports and news of the past week, leaving for more time for in-depth discussion on the Frozen Nerds podcast, which, as you know, comes out on Tuesdays. You can catch the Frozen Nerd Report on the same feed as the Frozen Nerds podcast. You can follow him on Twitter, at Frozen Nerds, which is spelled with one N and two Zs. That never gets old saying that. A new World of Warcraft show has begun, the Countdown to Classic, and the name of the show is Countdown to Classic. It is a podcast that educates, informs, and gossips about World of Warcraft Classic, and the first three episodes are available right now. Follow the show on Twitter at Count2Classic, using the number 2 in this instance. Wrapping up the new podcast watch is a show known as Zephira's Adventure. Zephira is a member of the AIE Guild, an avid podcast listener, and fairly well connected to the community surrounding World of Warcraft, with her blog featuring a number of community spotlight interviews. The podcast currently has two episodes up for your listening pleasure, and you can find her work at zephirasadventure.wordpress.com. Zephira was also a guest on the latest episode of the Epic Fail podcast. The show's original website is currently down, but you can still find the show at twitch.tv/epicfailpodcast when it records on Saturday nights, or watch the previous shows there on demand. The Group Quest podcast has a new co-host sitting at the table, and that means I need to record a new intro for their show later this week. The new voice is one you might be familiar with if you remember a little podcast known as Your WoW Money. Joe, aka the Kerosene Kid, will now be a part of the roundtable discussion there with Haster and Golvin. You can listen to the latest episodes on your app of choice or go to thegroupquest.com. After almost a year of being lost to the nether, the Battletag podcast is back. Cinder and Neuro have just put out episode 35 of the show. You can catch up with them at battletag.com.au. Taking a look at guest appearances, there have been quite a few over the past couple of weeks, and I know I'm probably going to miss one or two, but here's a recap of everything I can remember. Zupercat from Ask Mr. Robot was a guest on the latest episode of the Blizzard Umbrella in a show that focused on gamer toxicity. If you go an episode earlier, you'll find that the Umbrella did a crossover podcast recording with the Blue Recluse. Speaking of the Blue Recluse, you can now find the show on Twitch at twitch.tv/theBlueRecluse. Frazzly from Frazzlecast can be heard at the end of The Blue Recluse, and he can also be heard as a guest on the latest episode of Azeroth Roundtable. John and Ben from Azeroth Roundtable were Bellum Remedy's guests on their 200th episode of Pwncast, which you can find at pwncast.net. Pwncast episode 201 also featured a guest, and it was none other than Asmongold from the Allcraft podcast. Speaking of 200 episodes, grats once again to the Training Dummies on hitting that milestone just a few days ago. Episode 200 featured Aranda from the WoW Secrets Discord. The topic of secrets in WoW is something you don't often hear about, and I highly recommend it. I also suggest listening to episode 199, which featured Samantha from Arcane Analysis talking to Daryl and Rob about Mythic Plus dungeons. Are we done talking about guest appearances? I am just getting started. Episode 242 of The Starting Zone, for example, featured Zia from the Sundering podcast. The Starting Zone already has two other episodes up there to check out. You can go to thestartingzone.com to listen to all of those. Over in Hearthstone podcast, there's been plenty of focus on the Dude Paladin deck. I should know, I've been playing it like crazy, and I've been complaining about it like crazy. You can listen to Dude Paladin Deckmeister Zandali on episode 125 of Coin Concede. Episode 126 of the show is also available and includes guest Nefarious for some Year of the Raven discussion. If you're looking for more of Zandali, you can find him and one of my favorite Hearthstone players, Ant, on episode 146 of Valuetown. Now, WoWFest may be coming to an end on March 11th, but Into the Wild will march on as your home for WoW format-focused discussion. The show's last two episodes included Wild Hearthstone streamer Get Meowth on episode 9, and Ziggy Sarah from the 1600 Dust community is on episode 10. If you want even more news on Hearthstone podcasts, of course, The Daring Reporter is the place to check out. They are practically the realm maintenance for Hearthstone podcasts. And on their latest episode, you can also catch Andrew from the Happy Hearthstone. Now, I've just mentioned a ton of great Hearthstone shows, but really, if there was just one episode over the past couple of weeks that I feel you need to listen to, it's episode 39 of the Tier 5 podcast. Toast the Badger joined Rod and Adam to talk about her involvement in the Hearthstone community and the continuing challenges that women face in that environment. The episode has received a lot of praise on Twitter. I thought it was great as well. I highly encourage you to check out Tier 5. The Omnic Lab often does a great job with the guests it brings on, and the past couple of weeks were no exception. Episode 92 includes Grandmaster Lucio player Rami for a deep dive on everyone's favorite wall riding support hero. Episode 91 of the show took a look back at Stage 1 of Overwatch League with John Horstman from Overwatch League Daily. You can find the show at omniclab.com. Tomster from Space Station Gaming was featured on episode 102 of the Gankbush Squad, an explicit Heroes of the Storm podcast. And finally, shameless plug time. If you folks want to hear me ramble about my early days in gaming, podcasting, and the possible future of this show with a lot more, check out the latest episode of Unshackled Fury, where Berserker and Navox ask me all the questions, and I pretty much answer all of them. That does it for this week's podcast news. Liquid and Bags from Troll NHGC join me right after we find out what's happening on the next episode of Battle Pets.
Ludra the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Mage.
Ben, look. Look at this face. Isn't she great? The newest huggy pet of WoW. You have the crown, girl. Run with it.
Okay, just because you name something cute and huggable doesn't mean that you can actually hug it.
But its name is now Hug Tusk. I'm gonna go hug it.
Aludra, it's a dangerous animal. It could very well gore you.
I'm gonna go hug it.
Okay, while Aludra is learning the difference between domesticated and wild animals, make sure to check out Battle Pets episode 124, Hug Tusk the Cuddly, where we chat about transmog, talk about boss battles, and introduce you to some underappreciated pets.
Ben, look, I totally tamed her. Get me my bag of bows and ribbons!
Holy crap! How did you get her to let you ride her?
Because I believed Ben. You didn't believe, so I wouldn't come any closer.
Oh, good point. Time to run.
It's hard to believe that the third anniversary of Heroes of the Storm is just a few months away. And, you know, I've covered every single current Heroes podcast out there that I'm aware of to date, except one. Today, we correct that by featuring a show focused on the competitive branch of Blizzard's Team Brawler. Or, I mean, they really call it a MOBA now, don't they? I think we're past Team Brawler. The Heroes of the Storm Global Championship, otherwise known as the HGC, features the best talent in the Nexus with players hailing from North America, Europe, Asia, and beyond. With me right now are the hosts of Trollin' HGC, part of the Trolls.gg Entertainment Network. They are Liquid and Bags. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Hey. Thank you for having us. Happy to be here again.
Now, of course, I've featured both of you guys under other podcast ventures that you've been involved in. And Liquid, let's talk a little bit about that, because, of course, the Nexus Trolls was featured on here some time ago. It's still going on and going strong. And at one point, a decision was made to create this spinoff show from the Nexus Trolls. I was wondering if you'd tell me a little bit about just the history behind that and the motivations behind starting up Troll and HGC.
Sure. First of all, it's because I'm crazy. I mean, who does two shows in a week? But no, so, we created this little segment called Liquid's Esports Corner. And it was fun because I spent like 5 to 20 minutes, depending on what Daz or Mystic might have commented on or asked, during the Nexus Trolls, talking about esports, going over what was going on with HGC and just anything PvP or PvP related, but like anything kind of tournament related. At the time, HGC had just been announced and it hadn't started yet. There were mostly just tournaments leading up to qualifications. I went to Daz and I said, "Hey man, I got an idea for a show. I want to put something together and just spend an hour, hour and a half every week talking about, you know, HGC when it launches." And he's like, "Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea." I had been on the weekly Blizz at that point with Bags and Guaz, and we had talked about HGC, and it was an interesting show because, you know, the weekly Blizz, they cover all Blizzard esports, but Bags and I kept trying to steer everything back to HGC during that period of time. So I reached out to Bags and said, "Hey man, you want to co-host the show with me? I think it'd be a great fit. We'd have a lot of fun. We'll just focus on just Heroes Esports. What do you think?" Now we're like 37, 36 episodes in, having a great time talking about HGC.
The rest is history, as they
right?
say.
And Bags, of course, having done the weekly Blizz, has Heroes of the Storm for you been your main passion in Blizzard gaming? I'm just curious, what is it that has you so excited to cover Heroes Esports?
So I originally come from a World of Warcraft background, but I played a little bit of League when that was fresh and brand new on the scene. I guess not at this point, probably 5, 6, 7 years ago. But I didn't quite stick. I would bounce back to WoW, and then Blizzard announced that they were making their Heroes version of League, right? They called it Dota All-Stars or something like that, Blizzard All-Stars originally. So I was very excited about it. When it came out, I started playing, got really interested in it, and wanted to get better at it. And, so by getting better at it, I wanted to, you know, pay attention to the competitive scene. And as a kid, I always loved sports. So the two things kind of added together to really getting invested in Heroes Esports. Now, the biggest thing with Heroes Esports is when I'm watching it, it's extremely entertaining to watch, at least for me. It's very action-packed. The team fights start very early. And then there's a lot of nuances to the strategy and drafting of Heroes that make it, while it's a simple game, it has a lot of depth, at least in my opinion. So that's what got me really into it. What kind of keeps me coming back, I guess, is the constant storylines that are changing and rewriting themselves and the intrigue that really follows that. And the beautiful thing about podcasting about Heroes Esports, there is constantly a flow or constantly something to talk about. Maybe it's a preview show for something coming up, or a review show to review something that's happened, or an interview show where we have a guest on that we can talk to them about their background, pre-Heroes or whatever. It's just like for example, we had Jay Shrite who comes from Brazil, who moved to Vancouver to play Heroes in North America. That's a great story. And having him on the show, just the esports side of it kind of provides its own content, which is really great, because it seems like on the in-game side of it, it is slowing down a little bit. And they said that BlizzCon that they were going to do that, but the news cycle in that regard seems to be slowing down.
Sure. And that's something I actually want to talk about a little bit later on, as far as the change of content pacing and such, because I feel like that's going to have an impact on a number of different shows. Now, Liquid, as far as the current format of Troll and HGC, can you tell my listeners what they can expect to hear on any given week? One thing I think I would say, just from my early observation, is that the show tends to be kind of malleable. It flexes and changes to fit whatever is happening in the current HGC schedule.
Yes, absolutely. So we try to stick to a kind of format that's the same day in and day out, or week in and week out, but that's not always easy to do. So we typically will go over the news if anything has dropped about HGC. That's usually more busy at the beginning and the end of a season, and then towards the middle of the season, it's not so busy because news is a little less frequent. We'll go over some results from the past week. We'll go over some previews of the week that's coming up. We go over amateur scene. So if Open Division's going, or Heroes Hype is going, or Chair League, or Nexus Gaming Series, any of the amateur stuff that we can get our hands on, we'll go over that. Then we usually end it up with an interview if we happen to have someone on the show, close it off. And that's we try to hit those same things every time we do a show. But then you have weeks where there is no HGC. One of those weeks we had two people on the show and we interviewed both of them. That was the week we had Yip Boss and Trent on. Another week we had Justing on. We just spent almost an hour talking just to Justing about various things. If HGC isn't going on and we know we have a guest coming on, we'll post to Reddit and say, give us your questions. We want everything you want us to ask. Because we know with no actual HGC action going on, we can make that interview a lot longer and we can just spend time, talking to that person about whatever they might want to cover. We had Gillyweed on and we had Kaldor on to preview NA and EU.
Those were a couple of great episodes, by the way. And like, if people want good examples of your podcast, I would point them to those specific episodes.
Those were both the most fun and the most nerve-wracking episodes, especially Kaldor. Kaldor like really knows the scene, and it's like nerve-wracking going into that to say, okay, man, we're going to talk to Kaldor about EU. I spent the week leading up to that just reviewing EU stuff. So I wasn't I'll never know it the way Kaldor knows it, but I knew I needed to know it better than I did going into that interview.
Yeah, it would be like me trying to interview Tasteless and Artosis about StarCraft.
right. And you just cram because you're like, yeah. Okay, I know what's coming. Like, I need to be prepared for this.
Yeah, they were, like I said, those were a couple really good episodes. You guys have had quite a few interesting episodes over the course of your run. Bags, just off the top of your head, I mentioned the Gillyweed and Kaldor ones. Are there any specific ones that you might encourage listeners to check out to get a taste of your show?
Actually, the most recent one we did with Cavalier Guest, I thought was phenomenal. Probably one of our best top three, previewing the Western Clash, which, by the way, our predictions were not good.
But it was such a great thing. Okay. We're going to totally derail this interview right now because we're recording this literally like 2 or 3 hours after the HGC Western Clash concluded. And I have to get this off my chest right now, guys. I have watched a lot of Heroes of the Storm esports, and I said this to you guys before we did the interview. I'm going to say it again. I have not been that excited and that engaged and that hyped about a Heroes of the Storm game, talking about the final game of the best of seven between Zealots and Dignitas. I haven't been that hyped since Cloud9 won back at BlizzCon 2015. It was the craziest Game 7 I've ever seen.
It's 2 years. Well, I'll put it this way. It's 2 years in a row that the Western Clash got to go to a full seven. So that's amazing.
Right. And three clashes now that Dignitas has won. So I guess we really shouldn't be betting against them. But
at least not in the clash.
Not in the clash. That our predictions were off. Clearly, a lot of people's predictions were off. Nobody saw Zealots making it to the grand finals. Nobody saw Tempo Storm making it into the winners finals. Mm-hmm. Nobody like the number of things that were like just blow your mind. And it's rough, too, because it's in Poland. So it's like up at 5 a.m. every morning to watch the games because I watch them live. And then like going through that grand final with Zealots. And then not only that, but having spent the last like today watching Zealots play because they played a lot of games today.
It was a marathon session. I think they said something that was like, what, 13 consecutive games?
Yep, 13 consecutive games, which is insane to me. Like,
that's the number of games they played. You know what's funny about that? That's what Dig had to do last year in for the spring clash as well, for the phase one clash. Coming up from that loser's bracket. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. It's rough if you're coming up from the loser's bracket like they did, but they looked solid. I looked at my wife at the end of the game and I said, if Dig didn't have that one game advantage from winning the winner's final, I think Zealots would have taken them in the final game that would have had to happen without that advantage being there. So it was that close. It was a great set and a great tournament all together. So
yeah, I was just amazed by, I don't think I recall a game coming down or just a whole tournament coming down to one single team fight deciding everything at the very end on Towers of Doom. It literally cannot get any closer than that. If any of you listening have ever watched Heroes of the Storm, VOD or anything like that, and you haven't watched the Western Clash, do yourself a favor. Pause this podcast, go watch a VOD of Game 7 between Zealots and Dignitas, and come back. You'll thank me later, and you'll understand why I'm just so hyped up about it.
Yes.
But it's the HGC, right now, I'd say there's been all this talk about Overwatch League this and Overwatch League that, and don't get me wrong, I really love my Overwatch League, but HGC is still doing its thing, and there's still a very high level of play. They seem to be refining their production content and all that. I feel like they aren't losing ground. I don't know how much ground they are gaining or building compared to the other MOBA giants out there, but I'd like to toss that to you guys because you guys have your eyes and ears on this content far more often than I do. I'm really more of a casual esports fan. Liquid, how do you feel about the current state of the HGC in terms of how they're running it, how it's being presented, and just how its future looks?
Well, I'm going to start by being slightly negative and say every HGC fan wishes that what was happening in Overwatch League was happening in HGC.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Having said that, I'm realistic too, and I understand that the amount of money in Overwatch League it greatly surpasses the amount of money available in HGC. There's just the Heroes of the Storm community and the availability to put on events of the size of Overwatch League with the pools and the prize pools and stuff just doesn't exist. The game's not that popular. Having said that, I think it's in a really good place. They continue to improve the production. If you watch this whole tournament, they really only had one set of delays, and that was the first set of games Friday morning at 5 o'clock. Which kind of makes sense if you think about it. It's the first set of games that they played on that stage. There were bound to be some technical issues with the communications. Once they got that worked out, everything else worked relatively smoothly.
A Heroes tournament isn't a Heroes tournament without some 3-2-3.
Right, exactly. absolutely. And in fact, what was great is during that Towers of Doom game, if you watch, Poik paused the game right after the shots were fired.
Yeah.
And the Observer instantly unpaused it like, no, we're not having that this time. Which I thought was a funny throwback just kind of to everything else in Glaurung. But yep. I think overall the scene is very healthy. It continues to grow. Other than not liking the BlizzCon format and wishing they would do something a little closer to like GCWC or even The Clash or even Midseason Brawl or some kind of like we talked about this last week on the show with Cavalier Guest, some kind of amalgamation where you take like the Chinese, everybody plays each other, but they're best of twos and you make that the group stage and then you seed from there, just a slightly different system for BlizzCon. And hopefully that'll be worked out this year. Last year's system didn't quite work as well as it could have.
What about you, Beggs? What are your thoughts on the current state of the HGC?
So the pessimistic side of me is that, for 2018, I'm kind of bummed that we didn't see any really major improvements from 2017. We don't have a LAN right now scheduled for North America besides BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. We don't have subs or coaches, officially in any official capacity, which I kind of hope for. The positive side is the the numbers that, I mean, Heroes is a second, third tier MOBA by a long shot. The fact of the matter is viewership has decreased from 2017, which is kind of depressing. But it's just matter of fact. And sure. the fact that we have the system in place that we do have, that we have a league, we have Heroes every single weekend, which makes a show like ours even possible, because if it was just regionals and then BlizzCon at the end, it wouldn't be possible to do a show, because you would do a show once a month, if that.
Agreed.
So it's great in that regards. We do have more sponsors than we did have. There are still top teams that are not currently sponsored, like Zealots and Team 12. But that is more due to the teams negotiating, trying to get really favorable contracts and for them, because they are very solid teams, as opposed to settling. So, and that's fine. So will I say that the league is on the up and up and heading in the right direction? I won't say, but I will say that it has maintained, which is good, because there were not, I guess I wouldn't say there were major concerns, but the fact that, you know, Heroes hasn't exploded, 2.0, the game grew, but it didn't explode. You know, it is what it is at this point. So sometimes we should just be, I guess we should, I'm happy that we have a league and still have a league. That's basically so.
I want to just point out two things, sure, real quick to your listeners. When Bag says they don't have subs or coaches, he means official positions on the team. We know that they have coaches. We know that, in fact, Fnatic played with a sub this weekend. That's not what he's referring to. He's referring to like an actual paid position as part of the Blizzard's going to give your team X amount of dollars every 6 months for being in the league.
Right. In comparison, Overwatch League, the teams have very flexible sizes, and as such, they can substitute players in and out, even in between maps. And you kind of wish that was in effect in Heroes of the Storm. And I even said on, I think, the last episode of this show in my RNG segment that I feel like I would care more about the teams if they weren't so restricted in their roster size, such that when Rostergeddon happens, or roster apocalypse, whatever you want to call it, and two or three people leave one team, it doesn't demolish a team. If you have a team and you have paid subs within that team, losing one or two people doesn't completely change things for you necessarily.
Right. Well, I think the interesting thing to point out is you even have that in WoW Arena teams, right?
Sure.
The 3v3 team shows up with four people.
Yep.
You don't know who you're going to play out of the four until you're sitting down and ready to get into the game. So I agree. I think it's an important step for the league. But I've talked to a number of pros and coaches, and they all say the same thing. How would you make that work practice-wise, right? Like, it's easy for us to say we want them to have subs, but it's a five-person game, and you need to work that person in for some practice, and it gets a little wonky.
It's kind of interesting. They can
do it in Overwatch, though. I mean,
If
they can do it in Overwatch, why can't they do it in Heroes?
No, exactly. I agree.
That's a lack of imagination.
That's the first thing I hear when I ask him about that. Oh, how would that work? I still need my practice every week, right? And it's okay.
Being that flexible, I think it's doable, but it does place more of a demand. It would require the team, I think, on an individual level, would require each individual to play more games, because they'd have to be more used to games where their player composition is one way or another.
Yes.
So agreed. It just means more work. It doesn't mean it's impossible, though.
Right. No, I totally agree. And I want them to have that. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of changes and such to the HTC and just to the game in general, I was going to ask about, you know, the changes to how teams are owned and run, and, you know, whether it's better for the future of the game. I think it's kind of a boring question to ask here, and you guys actually cover it pretty well, I'd say, on Trolling HTC. There was this one particular episode you had, and I'm trying to remember the episode number off the top of my head, but when those changes dropped, you guys had one of your people from the entry-level esports.
Yep, Trent. Trent was talking about it. Yep.
So I will let listeners check out that episode for more talk on that. But I do want to talk about content releases and changes and how it's going to affect the game. There's more of an emphasis being put on Making sure that reworks stand out, giving a little more love to hyping up skin theme packages, of course, for the people that are into collecting all that stuff. And new heroes are going to be fewer and further between. I personally wouldn't be surprised if we get no more than 7 or 8 heroes total over the course of the year. And I'm being very low on that number. I know more people are thinking it's going to be closer to 10. But how do you feel about the changes moving away from fewer heroes entering the scene? I think we're at nearly an 80 character roster already. I may be a little high on that, but how do you guys feel about heroes changing direction towards just bringing in new heroes? How about we go with you first, Bags?
So I know it's slowed down, and I think they're sitting at what, almost 80 heroes now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, someone made a good comment on Reddit the other day, which I haven't had power for. I literally didn't have power until an hour ago.
good job on weathering that storm that hit the east.
It was brutal, but, made it through, and the first day I didn't have cell service, but the second day I did. And with my phone, I sat on Reddit, and one of the comments on Reddit was made an interesting point, is that with the slowing down of hero releases, they might be able to put more time playtesting, trying new things out, balancing, and instead of getting heroes kind of like Maiev, who has been nerfed 3 times in a row and is still probably broken. And kind of like, I don't want to say she's boring, but kind of reuses some tools that other characters have, very similar to other play style to other characters. Instead of kind of that, we can get some really more unique heroes that bring something completely different to the table that, still be balanced with more time and less pressure on hitting that 3-week window of we need a hero in 3 weeks. We need a hero in 3 weeks.
So, really want to stay a while and listen to this. Go on. what did I say something?
So it could happen. No. We could get a really interesting character like Deckard Cain.
That would be nice.
and see what happens. I remember one of the first heroes that Heroes Forged was the Innkeeper. Something like that could be really cool. Like
who actually has specific. A name now, Hearthstone Brew. So yeah, bring him into the game.
So I think that with the slower release schedule, we could get some more interesting characters that bring something really unique to the table and hopefully something very interesting to the competitive scene.
What would your thoughts?
So I'm really torn on this. Part of me agrees with everything Bags just said, but then another part of me cries a little inside because it means Reinhardt will never be released because they'll have other heroes in the queue before him.
Brigitte's cooler to add to the game than Reinhardt, I'm afraid to say.
I could argue
that Johanna is already in the game.
right, exactly. So the one, I guess I'm going to look at it strictly from an HGC point of view. I actually prefer this. I think having patches released so frequently along with new heroes, and then you have to do a balance patch to rebalance the game because you just released a new hero. And now you have the HGC scene playing on, sometimes 2 patches back, and it can get confusing for a viewer. I follow it close enough that I always understand what they're playing on. But, when I sit with my wife, she'll be like, well, I thought this was out and which patch is this? Were these changes in place? In fact, yesterday she was asking, is this the patch with the changes to the protector?
Mm.
I think that's what it's called, right? The big thing on Volskaya is the protector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The Triglav.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was asking, is this that patch? Right. And part of that is due to the hero release schedule. Part of that is due to the content release schedule and them always pushing to do reworks. So I feel like anything that brings stability to the patch for pro players is good for the game. On the flip side, I think more frequent hero releases might bring more players into the game. So it's like this balancing act they have to play. But I have faith that Blizzard will find the right balance and we'll see what happens.
We will definitely see what happens, and I'm sure that you guys will be around to cover it, whether there is a week in the HGC going on or not. One thing I do feel is that even with this change of content pacing, there is still plenty for a podcast such as yours to talk about on any given week. And it's one reason why I wanted to make sure you guys were featured around now and why I encourage listeners to give you guys a download. So, gentlemen, thank you for being on this week. Liquid, if you can let my listeners know how they can best connect with you guys, find you on the web, connect with you via social media, and where they can find your show and all that good stuff.
Okay, so you can watch the show live Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/trollsgg. You can also find all of our past shows on our website, trolls.gg, or on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/trollsgg. And the best place to get social media from us is at trollinhgc. That's TROLLINHGC.
All right, Liquid Bags, gentlemen, once again, thank you for being on this week. We've had a wild beginning to the HGC, and there's still 3/4 of it left to go this year. I can't wait to see what happens there, and I can't wait to hear you guys talk about it. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Ro.
We're approaching the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup. The following is an insanely quick rundown of every podcast I'm aware of that covered a Blizzard franchise and produced an episode between February 26th and March 4th of 2018. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have Three Goblins in a Trench Coat, All Things Azeroth, Battle.net News, Blizzard Umbrella, Blizzard Watch, Blue Recluse, Dirty Casual, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, Group Quest, Hearthcast, The Instance Lagging Balls, Tank and Spank, Torn Think Tank, The Training Dummies, and The Weekly Blizz. Your World of Warcraft shows include the AIE Podcast, Azeroth Roundtable, The Converted, Countdown to Classic, Dark Moon Herald, Frazzlecast, Hunting Party, Lion's Pride Tavern, Merely a Setback, Pwncast, Rolling Restart, The Starting Zone, The Torn and the Goblin, Unshackled Fury, World of Warcast, WoW Challenges, WoWhead Weekly, and Zephira's Adventure. Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 1600 Dusty Angry Chicken, Around the Hearth, Blizzlet Hearthstone, Brewmasters, Coin Concede, The Daring Reporter, The Golden Ticket, Hearth Casual, Hearth Coach, The Hearthzone Podcast, Hero Power Cast, The Innkeeper's Podcast, Into the Wild, Lightforge, Off Curve, Omnistone, The Salty Dog, Tier 5 Podcast, Top Deck King, Valley Town, Valen's Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Shattered Soulstone is your Diablo podcast for this week. Heroes of the Storm podcasts include Core, Gankbush Squad, Heroes Forge, Into the Nexus, Lords of the Storm, Nexus Trolls, Town Hall Heroes, and Troll in HGC. And finally, for Overwatch, we have the Cavalry, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Junkertown FM, Omnic Lab, The Overcast, The Overview, Overwatch League Daily, Overwatch League Network, Overwatch League Now, The Owl Recap, Prepare to Attack, Theory Watch, and Watchpoint Radio. You can catch the weekly podcast roundup as a part of this show and at the end of the Rolling Restart podcast. To links to all these shows and more great Blizzard podcasts, go to realm-maintenance.com. It's once again time for a little bit of RNG, and what does RNG stand for this week? Well, it definitely doesn't stand for random number generator. That's too easy. How about we say roosters need grain? Because that was the first 3 words I could think of that started with RNG, and that almost makes too much sense, because of course roosters need grain. How else are you going to have such big roosters? Boy, if this was Lagging Balls, I would have said something other than roosters right now. But it's not, so we continue. you know, last night I was in the Burning Throne in Antorus and raiding with my raid team of Furt. For people wondering what Furt stands for, it stands for Flexible Encounters Raid Team, which sounds a little bit weird, but as a raid team started all the way back in Siege of Orgrimmar, back when the current form of raiding where you had flexible raid sizes was just known as flexible mode raiding, and a whole lot of memories come back with that. It's weird to think that it's been so long since Siege of Orgrimmar and Mists of Pandaria. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it really has literally been, like, what, 5 years since Orgrimmar? That's freaking crazy. Anyhow, we finally downed Argus on normal difficulty, and I know for a lot of you listening to this podcast, you are probably working on, you know, if you play WoW, you're working on heroic progression, mythic progression, or maybe you've beaten normal, you've done your thing, and you're not even raiding right now. So I realize that to a lot of you, we are months behind, but for me, I am so just happy and pleased with our progression and the rate that we move through this raid. Our raid team is a very casual group, very friends and family. You know, I couldn't put an exact number on like the average age of raid team members in our group. I want to say it's very likely in the 30s as far as average age goes. Maybe high 30s? I don't know. But we're a bunch of old farts playing WoW and still having a good time doing so. And it's been such an awesome experience. And I just wanted to take a moment to thank everyone on my raid team, whether you're there week in and week out, or whether you pop in for a week or two and then we don't see you for a few months and you come back in. Furt raiding has been what has kept me interested in logging in to World of Warcraft on a somewhat regular basis when, you know, we don't have leveling up content or some deep story content. Raiding is what's kept me connected to the game. It's my thing, it's my jam. And I feel like we've hit a major milestone. I wouldn't say that I'm done with World of Warcraft now for the next few months because, well, we downed Argus, that's it, I'm out. I imagine that our team is still going to be farming for probably at least another 2 months before we all decide, hey, you know what, it's probably time to take a little bit of a break, which is fine. Breaks from raiding and breaks from WoW are not a bad thing. There's always so many games I could be playing instead of WoW, Blizzard and otherwise. But yeah, just again, thank you, Tetsemi, Ben, Nevermore. Man, am I going to try to name all the members of the raid team? That is, I am asking for trouble because if I attempt to do this, I am going to miss out on at least a few names. So, Tetsemi and Nevermore, a special thanks to them because tanks, watching those two grow as tanks, especially Nevermore, it was a great thing. And it's like, I've thought about the trying to do tanking at some point, and you know, there's so much pressure put on you as a tank, and I tried tanking dungeons, and I was, you know, weirded out by that, and I didn't even want to try tanking and raiding, let alone dungeons, although every year I say, you know, maybe I'll do a tank character, but I'm rambling. Thanks to our tanks, thanks to our awesome healers, Ben, Sacery, Manny, Maui, a few others of you who have stepped in, sometimes switch between DPS and healing roles to help out heal Team 6, it's been much appreciated. So many DPS on our team, and I'm not listing you all because I'm going to miss one or two of you, so I'm giving special thanks to tanks and healers because without you guys, us DPS wouldn't be able to deeps the deeps. The whole experience, the whole raid tier was great. You know, we had a couple of minor roadblocks, but we never had one fight that threatened to really, like, break up the guild or cause people to be like, you know what, I just don't care about this raid anymore. It felt like the smoothest kind of raid progression that our team has had in a long time. And that's saying a lot, considering the stuff that we've been through in past expansions with past raid tiers and such. Burning Throne, it's not Ulduar to me, but it's definitely going to be in my top five raids in my experience playing WoW. Absolutely. And I guess it kind of brings me to looking back at Legion as an expansion as a whole. Because here we are, we've reached the end of Legion. Argus is down, Sargeras is dealt with, kind of, sort of, probably, I think. And we have this big old sword sticking in Azeroth. I know, spoilers, but come on, guys. If you don't know there's a sword sticking in Azeroth by this point, I can't help you. But Legion's basically over. And a long time ago, when Legion started, I had a feeling that Legion was the best expansion that I played since Wrath of the Lich King. And I always said back then that Wrath of the Lich King was my favorite expansion, and Legion was looking like it would be 1B, if not better than Wrath of the Lich King. So the question is, what's my final verdict on Legion? And I would have to say, I still believe that Legion was the best expansion since Wrath of the Lich King. But I don't think I can say that Wrath was better than Legion. And I don't think I can say that Legion was better than Wrath, because honestly, I'm a different player than I was back then. And each expansion did what it needed to keep me engaged in WoW, though it was done in different ways. I played WoW a hell of a lot more during Wrath of the Lich King. In fact, I would probably say that I spent 3 times as much time playing WoW during Wrath than I did during Legion. At the same time, I would say that Legion did such a great job at giving me more bang for the buck, like giving me more exciting, interesting experiences and more engaging gameplay content in a shorter amount of time. The stories in each expansion were great, although tackled differently. Each expansion had its content patches that were amazing and awesome, and its content that seemed a little light, but still fun to do. And I don't know how the WoW team tops Legion or Wrath. Those bars are set so high. Battle for Azeroth, I'm sure, is going to be a great expansion. I'm not expecting Battle for Azeroth to be better than Legion. I'm not saying Battle for Azeroth is going to suck. I'm just saying Legion just does so many things to kind of end World of Warcraft on a high note for a lot of people to such a degree that I'm retiring my Warlock character, well, my current Warlock character, and rolling a new Warlock character with a new name because I think Rose's story as a Warlock is basically done. I'm rambling so much about this, but this is all stuff I could probably say on the Rolling Restart podcast, but still, just downing Argus was such a moment, and I'm so happy to have been able to participate it with my raid team. If you happen to be a non-WoW player listening to this podcast, and you played World of Warcraft at some point, or maybe if you haven't played World of Warcraft at all, I'm not just saying this because I get paid from Blizzard, because I don't get paid from Blizzard to say this, but do yourself a favor, check out the content of Legion. I honestly, after looking back on it all, I don't feel you'll regret doing so. And that sound means your update is complete. It is time to press that play button and play my final couple of games of Wildfest Arena. Wildfest has been a blast for me. That being said, I am tired of running into a certain few cards in the Wild format of Arena, and I will be happy when things are back to a simpler time. A time in which, well, quite honestly, I'm probably going to be ignoring Arena until the new expansion comes out. But hey, I need to save my gold. Folks, thank you again for your support of this show. Reviews, downloads, word of mouth about this podcast. All of that support is appreciated, as well as your support of everything that I do via patreon.com/realmpodcast. The Patreon is going to be updated. I mentioned that before. I plan to have it updated by the time you listen to the next episode of this show. I hope you check it out. It'll basically be a home for supporting all three podcasts that I do here. If this is your first time listening, you can find this podcast on most podcasting apps, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Don't forget to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @realmpodcast or follow myself @rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. If you're looking for a WoW podcast, check out the Rolling Restart next Tuesday. If you're a casual Hearthstone player like myself, listen to me and Kevin Ellis on episode 2 of Hearth Casual this Friday. And in 2 weeks, if all goes as planned, I'll be joined by the hosts of the WoWhead Weekly Videocast. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2018, and is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. You can find more great shows at frozenfoxmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. The show's theme music is a cover of Call to Arms by YouTuber ThizKits. Thanks again to Liquid and Bags for joining me this week. Be sure to check out the Troll and HGC podcast and follow the show on Twitter @TrollandHGC. Thanks for your interest, your retweets, and your downloads of this show and others in the Blizzard podcasting community. And as always, thanks to you for listening.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter @FrozenFoxMedia. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.